Blog Talk Radio.
For radio as godless as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-hosts of Free Thought Radio, radio for the rest of us, freethinkers, atheists, and agnostics.
Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
From the secular point of view.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. For the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, a message from UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who's called for greater inclusion for all those with a handicap, along with greater recognition and protection of their rights. Specifically, Mr. Guterres said that these rights included the right to go to school, live in the community, access healthcare, and start a family. Everyone should have the right to engage politically, to play sport, travel, and have decent work, the UN chief insisted in his message for the International Day on the 3rd of December. He explained that people with disabilities had been among the worst affected by the coronavirus pandemic, and that they are more likely to live in poverty and experience higher rates of violence, neglect, and abuse. To reports now that Bangladesh authorities may be preparing to move Rohingya refugees who fled Myanmar to an island in the Bay of Bengal. Nearly 900,000 Rohingya refugees live in the Cox's Bazar settlements. In 2017, hundreds of thousands fled violence in neighboring Myanmar following a reported military clearance operation, during which numerous alleged human rights abuses were committed. In a statement, the UN office in Bangladesh said that it had not been involved in preparations for the movement nor the identification of refugees to the new destination, Basanchar. It added that refugees who choose to move there should have basic rights and services on the island. These should include freedom of movement to and from the Bangladesh mainland, as well as access to education, healthcare, and work. These would help lay the foundations for a productive and secure community on the island, the UN office said, before noting that comprehensive protection assessments should be carried out on Basanchar before any relocation happens. More than 32 million of the world's poorest face being pulled back into extreme poverty because of COVID-19, leading UN economists have said. In a call for urgent investment from the international community, the UN Trade and Development Agency, UNCTAD, said that the pandemic is likely to cause the worst economic crisis in decades among least developed countries. It warned that the coronavirus risked reversing years of painstaking progress in poverty reduction, nutrition, and education, with per capita economic output shrinking by 2.6% this year. An estimated 1.06 billion people live in the 47 least developed countries, which account for less than 1.3% of global economic turnover. In 2019, average earnings in these countries, which are mainly in Africa, was around $1,000, compared with a world average of $11,000, the UN agency said. Extreme poverty is defined as having an income lower than $1.90 a day. UNCTAD Secretary General Mukhisa Kituyi said that countries which had invested most in boosting production capacity were the ones that were likely to weather the global downturn caused by COVID-19. Senegal was one of only a few to have done so, Mr. Kituyi said, as it had produced cheap and rapid COVID testing kits, while Bangladesh and Ethiopia had repurposed garment factories to produce personal protective equipment. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And as we said earlier, this week's the anniversary of the birthday of the lyricist Ira Gershwin, the writer with his brother George Gershwin of many great American songs. Let's listen to one of those songs performed by our friends, the jazz pianist Addison Fry and vocalist Tahira Clayton.
That, well, no, they can't take that away from me. just been the way he sings off key, the way you haunt my dreams.
And that was Tahira Clayton with the pianist Addison Fry, and they're married, by the way, performing the Gershwin melody, They Can't Take That Away From Me. So, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Stephen Phelps. He's a former Assembly of God and Southern Baptist music minister, like I used to be years ago. He's from Tennessee. We'll be talking with him on the phone from Nashville. He's going to tell us why he no longer believes in God, and then we will hear some of his new free thought music. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Steve Pinker. In my book, Enlightenment Now, I show that the world has become a better place as reason has been overcoming superstition and tribalism. But the values of the Enlightenment are under attack. That's why I'm a proud member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest association of free thinkers working to keep state and church separate. Please join me in supporting the Freedom From Religion Foundation to ensure that our government is driven not by religion, but by reason.
Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Stan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the December 3rd, 2020 Free Thought Radio show. Annie Laurie and I are hosting from our home studio in Madison, Wisconsin, while once again, Buzz Kemper is engineering from his studio near the Wisconsin State Capitol, Audio for the Arts.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. That tells us, the name tells you everything. We work for the constitutional principle of separation between religion and government, and our membership of over 33,000 in North America are personally free from religion. So we educate the public, that's you, about the views of non-believers, and we are working very diligently, particularly now, to try to undo the harm of the Trump administration's packing of the judiciary, because one of our main purposes is to keep religion out of government through litigation and by writing letters of complaint to public officials. So it's a big job, and we would love to have you help us by joining us at FFRF.org. That gives us a more powerful voice.
That's FFRF.org. Today, we're going to talk with a former Assembly of God and Southern Baptist worship minister, Stephen Phelps, who no longer writes songs for Jesus. We will hear how he changed from minister to atheist, and we'll listen to some of his new Free Thought songs.
Before that, we will hear the jazz pianist Addison Fry and vocalist Tahira Clayton, both atheists, perform a Gershwin song. This week is the anniversary of the birth date of the lyricist Ira Gershwin, who with his composer brother George wrote many of the songs in the Great American Songbook.
Ira Gershwin was born on December the 6th, 1896. The Gershwin family was from a nominally Jewish heritage, but they were not religious. Between segments during today's show, listen for some of Gershwin music, including Bess, You Is My Woman and Summertime from Porgy and Bess, as well as Our Love Is Here to Stay and The Man I Love.
And besides Free Thought Radio, FFRF also produces a TV show called Free Thought Matters that airs in many major cities around the country on Sundays and everywhere on YouTube. We call it our Unsermon. This week, we had an exciting talk with the Hollywood legend, John Davidson, and here is how Dan introduced John Davidson.
Most people, especially if you are over the age of 45, will recognize the face and talents of John Davidson. His first known television appearance was with Sid Caesar in 1958. Just after his 17th birthday. Not long after that debut, John appeared on stages in London's West End and opened on Broadway in a musical called Foxy.
About time.
John starred in a pair of movies for Walt Disney.
Dakota, oh Dakota.
He was a guest on almost every variety show on television in the late 60s and early 70s, including multiple visits to the Ed Sullivan Show and the Carol Burnett Show.
This is fine and standing over here. The John Davidson Show.
John Davidson hosted his own variety show for a season and was one of the most used guest hosts on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
What category do I fall into?
John Davidson starred in several episodic television series, including The Sally Fields Show, The Girl with Something Extra, and guest starred on dozens of others, including an extremely dramatic turn as a schizophrenic actress on the streets of San Francisco.
You murdered two men. Trash. I killed trash.
But every time I sing a love song.
As a recording artist, John released a dozen solo albums. He packed theaters in Las Vegas and nationwide. He evolved into a television host once again, with gigs on ABC's That's Incredible, a daytime talk show, and as the host of several game shows, including the $100,000 Pyramid, and most famously, the new Hollywood Squares. John Davidson's theatrical appearances returned with a highlight in the first national tour as the Wizard in Wicked. He also appeared in several more films, including Tim Burton's Edward Scissorhands.
So during our interview with John Davidson, he affirmed his atheism and his concern for this world. And this is a little teaser of his views on religion.
I believe that people are basically good, that people want to be good. Faith, hope, and love, in my mind, are things that we can't see, of course, just like we can't see God or other superhuman beings or magical friends. Yeah, but we can't see faith, hope, or love, but they do exist. I just don't believe that there is a force that I can pray to and have her or him change my life. I believe we're all alone and we have to find a way to make our lives work and to make ourselves better and be as moral as we can be.
That was an exciting interview with John Davidson, and you can watch the entire interview, including a free thought song that he performs live for us this Sunday on broadcast TV in many cities, including Chicago, Denver, Houston, Los Angeles, Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, New York City, Phoenix, Portland, Oregon, Sacramento, Seattle, and Washington, D.C.
Or you can watch it right now on YouTube on FFRF's Free Thought Matters playlist. And the weekly shows are uploaded every Thursday on YouTube, where you can also subscribe. And John Davidson is so appealing, so you don't want to miss seeing this.
So on the legal front, our legal team have been very, very busy. For example, last month, FFRF staff attorney Chris Lyons sent a letter to a Kansas school district asking them to stop promoting and endorsing Operation Christmas Child, which is run by Franklin Graham, the son of the evangelist Billy Graham. Liberty Middle School in Pratt, Kansas, was making morning announcements that often included references to Jesus and to the evangelical group that sends boxes of gifts to children with the purpose of attracting children in the developing world to convert to Christianity, they say. That's an action that violates state-church separation.
And he was also doing other things that were totally inappropriate that we wrote him about. And very quickly, the school district did do the right thing. Superintendent Helfrich responded with a letter to FFRF confirming that they're discontinuing the collaboration with Operation Christmas Child upon learning, they said, that its mission is more sectarian in nature than we realized. Now, last Friday, Laura Ingram of the Fox News program, the Ingram Engel invited Franklin Graham on her show to complain about our complaint.
Operation Christmas Child. It's supported by Samaritan's Purse, and it provides Christmas gifts for millions of underprivileged children all over the world. It's amazing. And so, of course, it seems like an unobjectionable cause, doesn't it? Well, not if you are a local atheist group looking to ruin other people's Christmases. Now, Liberty Middle School in Kansas is now canceling plans for students and faculty to participate in the program after the Freedom From Religion Foundation filed a complaint demanding that the school cease participation or taking any other actions promoting Christianity. Joining me now is Reverend Franklin Graham, president of Samaritan's Purse, the Christian nonprofit running the drive. Reverend, now this complaint, they do this every Easter and every Christmas. The complaint says that this drive violates basic constitutional principles. What's your reaction?
I want every child that gets a box to know that God loves them and that he cares for them. And we don't hide the fact that we're Christians. It's on our website. We're very upfront about our position and our faith. You see, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's son, and I believe he came at Christmas, that God gave him to this world, and that if we would just turn from our sins, that God would forgive our sins and heal our sins.
Notice that neither of them addresses the constitutional issue that our letter raised. Laura Ingraham is framing it as an attack on Christmas.
And of course, the Christian nationalist extremist media, Fox, Breitbart, and the others have all railed against FFRF's complaint because it's an easy mark to show there's a so-called war on Christmas. But actually, it's open season on the separation of church and state every month. And I do have to point out that we're all for encouraging humanitarianism in children and helping others in need, but there's a plethora of secular charities out there with no strings attached that public schools can choose from. And by the way, Billy Graham receives a salary of over $661,000 for running Samaritan's Purse. He could spend a little more of his own money. And we don't know what he earns as head of the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, because that's dark money as a church. But we do know, thanks to Open Democracy Research, that that association has spent more than $23 million in Europe between 2007 and 14, much of it to export homophobia and anti-abortion views in Europe.
So you'll probably believe this. It's hard for us to believe, but today the governor of Oklahoma is holding an Oklahoma Day of Prayer and Fasting to counteract COVID-19. And he's very religious. He has a bunch of scriptural verses on this thing. We complained about it. We wrote a letter telling him he should not be abusing his office to promote his personal religion.
And Governor Kevin Stitt, this is the second time we've written him about a prayer proclamation about the coronavirus, by the way. He actually had the nerve to quote a Bible verse that appears to be calling victims of COVID wicked. It says that it's this Bible verse that we pray to turn them from their wicked ways. And how many people have died in Oklahoma? It's
1,700 citizens at least.
And so he feels that he doesn't have the authority to mandate social distancing, closures, masks, wearing in a pandemic, but he has the authority to direct citizens to pray and to gather in churches. So he's just, it's reckless and irresponsible. He's just going to spread the coronavirus. So, of course, we wrote a letter of complaint.
So very quickly, Annie Loria, the Supreme Court decision that just came down, Amy Coney Barrett's first decision dealing with religion last week, is a real attack on state church separation.
Yes, and this is involving a church edict by Governor Cuomo in New York State, and it was actually in Brooklyn in Queens where the coronavirus rate was very high, and they were curtailing to 10 to 25 people attending church. And then they changed it because this was working, and actually 50% of the they can fill the churches to 50%. So it was very weird that the Supreme Court took this case, which is still being litigated, and enjoined Cuomo from endorsing a policy he isn't using right now. And this is Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn versus Andrew Cuomo. It's a 5-4 Supreme Court decision, unsigned, but speculated that Amy Coney Barrett actually wrote it. And it's sort of a rebuke to our conservative Chief Justice, who sided with the minority, Chief Justice John Roberts, who had voted with the majority in earlier decisions upholding the authority of public officials to make decisions in a pandemic about closures. And so it's portends big trouble ahead for our secular laws and policies. And next week, Dan, we are going to talk with Supreme Court expert Linda Greenhouse, who has a column just out on this week, and we're going to have her dissect this and what this portends for the courts. But it's very concerning, and once again we see Sonia Sotomayor having the strongest dissent, in which she warned that justices of this court play a deadly game in second-guessing the expert judgment of health officials about the environments in which a contagious virus now infecting a million Americans each week, spreads most easily. And the dissenters all complained about the fact that it was really not even a ripe case, and pointed out that churches are actually treated more favorably by Cuomo's policy than similarly situated gatherings, which include public lectures, concerts, and theatrical performances. So Sotomayor wrote, amidst a pandemic that has already claimed over 250,000 American lives, the court today enjoins one of New York's public health measures aimed at containing the spread of COVID-19 in areas facing the most severe outbreaks. So very, very concerning about what this is going to mean, how this is going to have a chilling effect on other public officials in the midst of our terrible pandemic.
And it looks like the religious right, the Christian nationalists, are turning the idea of religious liberty into a license to harm other people. It's very chilling.
So coming up?
So after the break, we're going to listen to jazz pianist Addison Fry and vocalist Tahira Clayton perform the Gershwin song, They Can't Take That Away From Me. And then after that, we're going to talk with Stephen Phelps, a former Christian music minister from Tennessee, who's now a non-believer, who's still writing songs, but his new songs are not about Jesus.
And we're going to hear some of them.
We are going to hear some of them. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
I'm an atheist and former Catholic. I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. Right now, Catholic bishops are using their considerable influence to deny women contraceptive rights. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate. You can call 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit ffrf.org to stand up for true religious freedom.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I believe in being good and doing good just for good.
Welcome back to Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. That song, I Believe in Good, was written and performed former church music director Stephen Phelps after he left the ministry and abandoned belief in the supernatural.
And we have Stephen Phelps on the phone today from Nashville, Tennessee. So, Stephen, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Dan. Thank you, and Annie Laurie.
It's good to talk to another former music minister like I used to be. I think we speak the same language. So you used to believe in God, and now you believe in good. How did that happen?
Well, when you grow up in the South, Assembly of God background, you kind of get the weekly indoctrination, and I accepted that for many, many years. Only about 6 years, 7 years back or so, did I allow myself to start to question that. It happened somewhat from some of the things I heard coming from the pulpit in the church I was working at. And I started to read a book that had quite an influence on me. My wife, Georgia, and I were reading through a book. A very special person wrote that book, and he had a similar journey as mine. Turns out that book was Godless. And when we got to the portion in there had the numerical discrepancies, having been a mathematician in a former time, I realized that there were just some things you could never square up, having a number differing than another account in the Bible, kind of a turning point for me. I said, well, if this is not really accurate, how much else is not accurate? So I let myself start to do some examinations, and over a period of time, it became clear to me that that was not where I needed to keep my belief structure.
So I should hasten to tell listeners who don't know that book, Godless, is written by my co-host, Dan Barker. little joke there, huh?
Yes, so it is.
So you were a music director in a Southern Baptist church, is that right? Even being raised as a Pentecostal?
Right. Mm-hmm. Idea that it happened to be somewhat a matter of convenience to be in that church. As many people, there was a death of a family member, my mother, who I was quite dearly loved. And at that time, you tend to kind of go back to some of the familiar turf, seeking some sort of consolation. I had been somewhat out of the church for a while, and that kind of got me back into the church, and having the music as a background, too. I ended up being the music director there for a number of years.
Well, so now you're still involved in music. You've been very active in the Nashville and other music scenes.
And, Steve, after you left the ministry, mm-hmm. you wrote a song mm-hmm. called After the Last Amen. So can we listen to part of that song?
Yes. Sure. That would be great.
I've been looking at the stars, and they're filling up my eyes. I've been wondering who we are, and what matters in this life. With every God of yesteryear that fades out of our sight, we see ourselves more clearly, move closer to the light. And I believe that we will find our way when we finally lose the darkness of our faith. When the last doxology is a long forgotten melody, we will all lift up our voices in human harmony. When the doctrines of division lie buried in the past, we will all work side by side for a oneness that will last when goodness needs no religious lens. We will let love be our light after the last amen. When I think of all the riches poured into empty myths, cathedrals draped in opulence, the cost of righteousness, all the while there are hungry children, scarcely skin and bone, and those who sleep on sidewalks, hopeless and alone. How many poor and broken might be saved once all the ancient fables pass away, when there are no tithes and offerings propping up a bygone creed. We will spend our love and charity helping those in need. When every verse in scripture is archived history, we will set our minds to reason, our hearts to living free. When goodness needs no religious lens, we will let love be our light to the last. Amen.
And that is the Stephen Phelps song, After the Last Amen. What a moving song.
And may I say a woman to that, Stephen?
Oh, good. Yes. Yes, I like the sentiment in that song where the real things that matter are the human efforts. That's what makes the difference.
Exactly.
So I think we have time to play another song in a minute, but before we do that, Stephen, uh-huh. I wanted to ask you briefly, you say that you managed to leave your church position gracefully when you realized you didn't believe anymore. How did that work?
Uh-huh. Well, I used one of the things I had learned during my time there, that as long as the move is considered to be one directed by God, then there's no questioning that. Hmm. So we had a time where our minister said, if I ever leave this church or if I ever leave this job, I won't be able to continue going to this church. I'm going to have to leave because you'll be comparing me to the new minister. So when I decided to retire my music director position there, that was my thinking, too, that based on the learning from the pastor himself, it wouldn't be good for me to continue to stay here. So along with my exiting the job, I also exited the church membership, which
I did something like that when I went from one church to another. All I had to say was, well, God is telling me to do this. And how do you argue with that? You know,
how do you argue with that? That's exactly right. So that's what I did, too.
Well, let's work in this. It's a clip from a song you have, Stephen, about keeping state and church separate, and it's called Public Places.
Keep the commandments all you want.
public deities, no private deities in public places.
Yeah, thou shalt not. I like that.
Well, thank you.
I love
Steve.
That line.
We have to take a break here. We're talking with a former church music director and Christian songwriter, Stephen Phelps. After the break, he will tell us about his new secular ministry, if I can call it that, in Nashville, Tennessee. Stay tuned. Yeah. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at ffrf.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers. It ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
Minister Stephen Phelps. That was a clip from his song called 99.
And I'm Dan Barker, and it's worth hearing that in that entire tune. So Stephen, you wrote and performed that song, and am I right to assume that you're making a plea for us, in spite of our religious and philosophical or political differences, to get along in this world? Is that right?
Yes, I'm trying to focus as much as I can on writing material that has more of a unifying tone to it. It's a little harder sometimes than the easy pot shots at what I consider to be the downsides from some of the religious dogma, but I think it's worth at least making that attempt and see what we can do.
Well, your lyrics even mention putting aside those divisive issues like that do separate all of us. So you now have a new, if you let me borrow a word, you now have a new secular ministry in Nashville with the Sunday Assembly. And tell us a little bit about that. And is that kind of what you're trying to do, trying to bring the world together?
Yes. Sunday Assembly is, I guess, for a lack of a better term, an atheist church, if you will. It's at least non-believers. Non-religious, but it fulfills all the roles that a church would fill in many people's lives. So we have potlucks. You know, right now, those are suspended, but, you know, meetups in person and speakers and the equivalent of a testimony and music. So it fills that role, and it's been around since 2013 now.
I saw some pictures. You're doing some things out in the park, or do you do any, like, community effort things?
Definitely. That's one branch. We have our motto is help often, live better, wonder more. So the help often portion of that is geared towards focusing on the community activities that we can support various good causes. And then we have the social aspect, and we have, you know, kind of a proclivity towards science-based learning. So it's educational as well.
So during the pandemic, are you meeting via Zoom?
We are. We're meeting online during the pandemic, and although we miss being in a congregation setting, there are some upsides to that. We're able to reach out to speakers that we might not otherwise have been able to get to be part of our effort there, because we don't have
the
restrictions
the
of geography. Yeah,
we're finding the same thing to be true, especially for our TV show. It does kind of broaden the world a little bit.
Well, I see that you have Catherine Stewart coming. Is it next month or in February?
In January, that's right. And we just had a good friend of mine, Anthony Magnabosco, who I've enjoyed watching his YouTubes on street epistemology for quite some time. So he was great. And Catherine's coming up, and we have maybe a very special guest for March. We'll get those details confirmed soon and let you know.
Well, you know, I would have actually gone down there in person, you know, if before the pandemic time, but but maybe in the future we can do that. A beautiful town there, a beautiful city.
Yeah.
So your music is excellent, and besides being excellent, it's very moving, and it has a good message. It's very sincere and fun, you know.
Thank you.
How can people hear your song? How can they hear the rest of that song that we just played, for example?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I am just now at a point where I'm going to have enough time to dedicate to putting up a YouTube channel. I've been writing and recording for quite some time, but I want to do short videos that essentially introduce where the song came from and then put the song out there on YouTube. I'm going to call that channel The Upbeat Atheist. I've always had kind of an optimistic outlook, and I'm going to continue with that, even in that venture.
So then somebody could have a downbeat atheist, couldn't they, as an alternative?
Well, they could. Well, that has a, if you're talking about the downbeat in music, that's pretty good too. But
yeah, that's true. But
so, Stephen, I understand that you met your wife, Georgia, through Match.com, and at that time she made it clear she wasn't a believer, but you managed to get a date anyway. So did Georgia was she a turning point in your decision to reexamine religion?
Yes, definitely. In fact, one of the songs that I wrote, which will end up being on there, is called The Chains Paradise. Chains of the Promised Land, pardon me. And I mentioned that in there, that she was the angel that kind of came by and opened the jail cell door for me. So, yes, she was already a free thinker and just a great person. So how can you not listen to and at least give some credence to someone who's got that much going on? And she's right.
Well, it's kind of like what the Bible says. You can blame the woman, can't you? In this case, we're thinking.
Yeah, she took the apple away from me.
So when you were doing music worship, music directing, did you direct choirs too? Did you do that whole thing?
Yes, choir director and arranged the special performances, worked with the instrumentalist in there.
I remember.
The church. So yeah, all about that.
I remember when I did that at an Assembly of God church. The hardest thing was that you had mixed talent in the choir. Some of them were great, and some of them weren't, and you had to just go with it. It was just frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, it was frustrating sometimes. We were fortunate, blessed, if you want to call it that, here in the Nashville area, that we had for a smaller congregation a really good batch of talent. So we were able to put together some musical performances that even now I look back on them and say, well, that was some really good music.
When you were doing that, were you actually seriously worshiping, or were you just putting on a show?
I'd say initially seriously worshiping. And as time went on and I began to question, there was an interim period of time, which was pretty rough, like a lot of people involved in the profession within the church, where your conscience and your livelihood come to odds to a degree. So there was a period of time where I had to contend with that.
Well, we know the end of the story. Thank you, Stephen, for being with us today. We look forward to hearing more of your music. Stephen Phelps.
And for sharing your music. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And that's our show for today. We want to thank our producer and engineer, Buzz Kemper, Free Thought Radio. He records it there at his studio, Audio for the Arts. Thank you to listeners in Philadelphia and New Jersey to WOOM. To listeners in Janesville, Wisconsin to WADR. In College Station, Texas to KEOS. Right here in Madison, Wisconsin, WIDEWMUU. In Central Missouri, KOPN. That's down in Columbia, Missouri. To WOOL, and I love this title, WOOL Black Sheep Radio in Vermont, New Hampshire. And greetings to listeners in Ithaca, New York, to WRFI. And if you're listening to us by the podcast, please give us a thumbs up on your provider and invite people to visit our website, ffrf.org/radio.
And don't miss next week's show. We are going to have Supreme Court expert, the former New York Times reporter who covered the Supreme Court for 30 years, Linda Greenhouse. She's going to talk about the latest Supreme Court decision on churches and the new Supreme Court. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.